Okay, let's move on into the rest of the regular agenda. Item 185.
Authorize a contract with NIC Services LLC for an electronic payment system, service, and support in a not-to-exceed amount of $7,500,000.
Good morning, or almost. No, good afternoon. Christine, you want to be first?
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. Since 2006, the payment gateway has become an essential means of conducting city business and receiving and processing electronic payments. Payment transaction volume has increased to the point the city has attained level one merchant status, and the revenue processed has grown at an annual rate of approximately 20%. All city client revenue services communicate with the city's payment gateway via an application procedural interface that serves bureau-specific requirements based on the type of service. The payment gateway is used by multiple city bureaus and is based on the type of services or transaction it accommodates bureau-specific requirements. Examples of payments processed include utility bills, construction permits, ticketing for streetcar transportation, on-street parking, leaf fees, and art tax. The city has determined that emerging requirements merited an evaluation of replacing the in-house developed custom solution with a standard commercial payment gateway system or service. In August of 2014, the city issued a request for proposals for electronic payment system, service, and support, and on October 6, 2014, one proposal was received. The proposal was reviewed, evaluated, and scored by a five-person evaluation committee that included representation from the Minority Evaluator Program. The proposal from NIC Services LLC was deemed responsive to the requirements of the solicitation and was recommended for awarding of a contract. NIC Services has proposed to use the use of a certified woman-owned business for help desk, call center, customer support services. The city issued a notice of intent to award on December 19, 2014, and no protests were received. You have before you an ordinance recommending authorization of a contract to NIC Services for a not-to-exceed value of $7,500,000 for the five-year period. I will turn this over to Jennifer Cooperman, City Treasurer, to talk more about this project.
Good morning, everyone. So as Christine described, the payment gateway was internally developed by BTS in 2006, and it's a heavily used piece of software. It's highly customized, it's maintained within BTS, and it's been determined that the gateway is not PCI compliant. PCI compliance is something that the city is obligated to be because we accept credit cards. The payment cards that we accept, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, and there's a fifth card that we don't accept, but they participate in this framework as well. Those card brands have set a security framework that they call PCI compliance, payment card industry compliance. And as a vendor, as an entity that accepts those cards, we are obligated to be PCI compliant. We are not PCI compliant. There are potential fines to the city that start in the five figures and rapidly escalate to the six-figure amount for not being compliant. Ultimately, past the fines, the card brands could come to us and say, we don't want you to accept our cards. Today, through the gateway, the figures I have are for fiscal year 14, but we processed over 9 million transactions a year that were valued at $155 million a year. We, as Christine mentioned, we've experienced growth in the number of transactions on the 20% level per year. I know I carry three cards in my wallet. I use my cards. It's a matter of convenience. We need to provide a service for the city to accept those cards that is compliant with the card networks so that we will continue to be allowed to accept the cards. The standards that the PCI Council set become more stringent over time. We are in what's called the PCI version 3.0. It started at 1.0 back, I'm not sure when, in the early 2000s. Because the world is changing and there are hackers out there and all sorts of new risks, the PCI Council periodically issues new standards, and we are at the 3.0 standard. It's more stringent than what was in place in 2.0. The 3.0 standard went into effect on January 1st of this year, and I'll predict that at some point we will be working with a version 4.0. So it's a constantly moving framework. We are given time to become compliant with it, but it gets tighter and tighter and more stringent all the time. So the gateway has been identified as something that is not compliant. We have indicated to our bank, who has indicated to the card brands, that we will reach compliance by the end of the calendar year this year. Remediating our gateway is a significant step in that direction, and the NIC payment engine, the NIC payment framework that we are looking to contract with is and will be a PCI-compliant framework for us. I'm happy to answer any questions, and we have with us Rick Nixon from BTS, our technology group, the e-commerce group within BTS, who can also answer any questions that you might have.
Great. Thank you. Questions?
Did we go out to bid for asking for an outside vendor to do the work for us, or did we go out to bid asking for a system that we could install?
Because we have such a customized gateway today, we went out and said, these are the things that we need to be able to do. You vendors come back and tell us how you can help us do that. Either deliver us a total turnkey system or or deliver to us certain portions that we could incorporate into what we already do ourselves. Is that fair?
That's correct. It was an all-encompassing request for the RFP to replace in whole the entire system with a fully hosted solution or individual components as they would marry into our existing system.
Has the Technology Oversight Committee looked into this?
This will be the we went to the TOC last year, last October, to talk about the gateway. The TOC is now will be overseeing the PCI remediation as a whole, the gateway being part of it. And we are presenting to them for the first time this coming Monday for the PCI project.
So I'm concerned that we only got one bid. How many contractors are there out there that do this kind of work?
So we had an information session, and there were 12 vendors who attended that information session. It was not required. And of those entities, one chose to submit a proposal. In our RFP, we did have several requirements. And from one of the vendors that I spoke with afterwards and asked, how come you didn't choose to bid, they said that they didn't feel that they could deliver all the services that we wanted, and that pulling together different vendors and different pieces to put together a complete solution, they didn't feel would satisfy what we were looking for. And in the in these requirements, let me just see, what page am I on? We did ask for vendors that also work with level one merchants that we are. Let me take a sidestep for a second. The card brands rank merchants according to their volume of business, and it's not the dollar volume, it's the number of transactions. You are a level one merchant, which is the top tier, if you process more than 6 million transactions a year. We process over 9.5, 10 million. So we are in the same category as a Target or a any of the other large commercial organizations that are out there. So we were looking for vendors who can handle the requirements of a level one merchant that we are.
So I am concerned about the complexity of our system, as we're finding with the ITAPS vendor, mm-hmm. that, in fact, sometimes contractors aren't aware of quite what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. So I'm concerned about just having the one bid.
Could I just say, the one NIC, it works exclusively with government entities. They have, I think it's 2,500 different customers nationwide, some at the federal level, some at the state level, some at the municipal level. And not that a payment from you and Target is any different than processing a payment for us for parking, but they're sensitive to government needs and government processes and government requirements.
And how do we know that their cost per transaction is an industry standard?
We have looked at comparable contracts as part of the reference checking. We've looked at contracts that they have with other entities. I haven't seen that part, or I can't think of what it is right at the moment, but a cents per transaction framework is the framework that they have traditionally been providing.
And if I'm doing the math correctly, their 10 cents per transaction at $1 million is at 10 million transactions is about $1 million a year, and yet the contract is for 7.5 million over mm-hmm. 5 years. Why the increase?
The city has a significant backlog of demand from bureaus to set up the ability for credit cards, so we have factored that into our analysis. It is a ceiling amount. We do have some cushion in there because we don't know what the public is going to pull out of their wallet. We don't know if they're going to pull out coins to pay the meters or if they're going to pull out a card for the meter. We don't pay unless we incur the transactions. So it's a number to go into SAP, if you will, for when we book the contract, but we are not obligated to spend all of that money.
And my understanding is we're planning to pay for it with an increase in parking fees. Is that
Commissioner, if I may respond, PBOT, because we have so many parking meter transactions, is going to bear a large share of the cost. And yes, I was about to mention that, I mean, given, as you know, PBOT doesn't have enough money to maintain the streets, we are going to be looking to raise additional money, and we are likely to come forward with a proposal to raise meter rates. I should add that there's a traffic management reason to do that anyway in the downtown. It's good parking/traffic management policy to have the cost of garage parking be slightly lower than the cost of on-street parking, because you want to encourage people to go into garages rather than circle around looking for a place in the street and causing additional congestion. And right now, for example, if you're parking for 3 hours downtown, it's cheaper to park on the street than the garage, which is not good policy. So we think that we are going to need to come forward with a proposal to raise meter rates. There's also a good public policy reason for doing so, in addition to, of course, the public policy of having safe credit card transactions.
So I am curious about why we're doing the contract without knowing how we're going to pay for it.
The way the fees go to NIC is that they look at the number of transactions that were incurred in the prior month, and they take it off the top, basically. There are no invoices that we then have to pay, but if we have $1.40 for an hour's worth of parking and we're at 8 cents, then they pass through $1.32 to the city.
No, I get that, but the contract before us today is for $7.5 million, mm-hmm. which currently we don't have that.
Well, it's foregone revenue transaction by transaction. So it's up
over
to the,
5 years.
It's up to the bureaus and OMF to forecast and the budget office to forecast revenue based on a number of conditions, including costs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a budgeted item. We don't have to budget $7.5 million to pay for this. It just comes off the top.
Right, but as of now, a lot of it would come off the top of PBOTS.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why they're proposing a rate increase.
I think what you're saying is that if parking fees were not adjusted, then it would have to bump out something else in their budget.
Yes. So I'm supportive of doing this. We have a budget process. We hear from the community. We hear from the businesses in downtown
mm-hmm.
to set parking fees, and that wasn't what was on the agenda today. So I just want to make that clear that we are going to have to figure out how to pay for this, and perhaps that could have been done.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's essentially no different than if the state comes to us and says your PERS rate's going to be different next year, and it gets loaded into the budget system up front. We don't have to budget for that, but we have to recover the cost if we can. In this case, we in some cases can,
yeah,
by raising park fees or other fees as people buy stuff from us.
We're going to be having another conversation this afternoon that is set to put pressure on or change things in this year's budget process.
Right.
And so I'm just flagging for folks that this changes what we mm-hmm. have been planning for when the city budget office put forward their recommendations a few months ago. My last question, thank you for your patience. How many staff are currently working on the gateway, and what cost savings will we have by having them not do that?
We have, I believe it's 0.8 of an FTE who is responsible for managing the city's gateway today. Once we outsource this, we will still need staff, city staff, to manage that gateway and manage the relationship with NIC. We will, that person will need to set up new web pages to use the gateway for bureaus that have been wanting to accept cards. And that person will still need to manage the relationship that we have with our external PCI auditor.
We're required. We don't have any internal cost savings.
No, but we will be compliant, which today we are not.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Saltzman, did you have some questions?
So, as I understand it, the $7.5 million is the top price. I mean, that's it. It says not to exceed.
It's a not to exceed.
It's an optimal price, so it can't exceed $7.5 million over 5 years.
At some point, we would have to come back to you if we are at the point where the payment to NIC is exceeding $7.5 million.
At an annual rate of more than what we've planned on, right? So if we'd have to be doing more transactions than you've planned on for mm-hmm. that, because it is 8 cents per transaction. They don't stop charging us at the nth transaction. So you would have to come back. That's a good point.
And I guess I'm just a little distressed about just one proposer. That sends up all sorts of red flags in my mind, given our experience with software projects over the years. So I don't know if there's anything you can say to allay my concern about that. But that
well,
makes me
I
very
think
nervous.
That Jennifer did do some outreach to see why we didn't get any other proposers. And just to kind of help you a little bit, is this was evaluated and it was a recommended award. Just because we get one proposal doesn't mean we have to award the contract. So the evaluation committee does feel that this is a viable proposal and it's something that we should go forward with.
That helps. Thanks.
Other questions? Thank you all. Thanks very much. Anyone signed up to speak on this item?
Yes, we have one person, Joe Walsh.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I really appreciate the questions coming from Commissioner Fritz on this. The one item that stood out to us also is the just one person or corporation coming back with a bid. We don't like that. We automatically have a reaction to that, and it seems to me that this is a $7 million contract. And I remember that Commissioner Fish, when it came to contracts, came to the decision that it would be a really good idea to bring anything over $1 million. Half a million? Okay. I stand corrected. $500,000 to the council. My point is that he saw that there was a problem here with perception, just the perception of it. So our question is that if you have $7.5 million that you're talking about, that if you only get one bid, we should have something in our charter or regulations or rules that say, you know what, we can't go forward on this because it's too much money involved. So there's a cutoff point, like Commissioner Fish did with the $500,000, that if it exceeds whatever number you decide on, $1 million, then there's got to be more than so many bids, 2, 3, or they go back to square one and they set it out again. Because this system here is perpetuating the same contracts coming back over and over and over again because they're qualified and they can do it. So it leaves out a whole bunch of people. So there's better ways of doing this. Maybe you need to break up the contract. Maybe you need to do your own subcontracting. Maybe you need to say, okay, if it's more than $3 million or $2 million, you have to have three bids or it ain't going anyplace.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Then this is an emergency ordinance. Let's take a roll call vote, please.
Fritz?
You know, it's an emergency, and I know that we have the need to do this, and it's really troubling to me that we only had the one bid. I don't have any way to gauge whether, you know, this isn't something that, it can't be something that's just us having this problem. There must be other jurisdictions, and is this company, I don't really know that much about this company. So I'm looking for guidance or more discussion. It's hard being the first one up to vote.
Want to wait to vote and see if Jennifer can reassure you any further?
So in an unrelated conversation with an unrelated entity, I asked about their interest in bidding. It wasn't related to this. And that entity said that they're now a lot more careful about, they're resource constrained, as are we. And so unless they think that there is a high likelihood of winning a bid, they're not putting the effort into responding to a proposal. This is a, on the one hand, it's kind of a commodity-like process, but on the other hand, it's you need to have deep pockets and lots of wherewithal in order to provide this service because it's rather technical and it crosses over the line into finance as well. So it's a marriage of finance and technology. I can't say what was going on in the heads of the other entities, but we asked in our RFP and said, you have to show that you can handle the level of business that we produce. You have to allow us the right to change our bank at any time. You have to allow us the right to, when we change our bank, to give us stored data that you have. So I don't know what other entities have been asking for, but we set some high standards because that's what our customer base in the city has been used to getting from a customized service. If I sell my house, yeah, it might be nice to have 10 bids, but all I need is that one that gets me a successful sale and I can close and they have the money in the bank. And because they focus on e-commerce only with government, I'm comforted that they understand what we're looking for and what we need.
Thank you. That's helpful.
That
yeah, well, particularly because over the 6 years that I've been on the council, Treasurer Cooperman has been someone who has consistently shown herself to be very fiscally responsible, very attention to detail, and I trust you. So on that basis, I still have the misgiving about doing this before we've had the discussion with our community about the how to pay for it, but we'll figure out how to pay for it. Aye.
Fish?
Thanks for a good discussion. We are in the process of encouraging a lot more people to pay their bills online or with credit cards. And so we have to make sure that we can give them confidence that their information is protected. And we live in a world where I think we all have the experience of having to replace our debit card on an alarmingly regular basis because someone is doing transactions in some other part of the country that we're not physically located in. So we have to have the integrity of the system. Appreciate the discussion. It's brought me to a point of confidence in moving forward. Aye.
Saltzman.
I appreciate this discussion, and I trust that the Technology Oversight Committee will be intimately involved in the implementation of this award. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Christine. This seems to me really is an emergency. I mean, we need to take steps to protect the credit card information of our customers. We can't run the risk of imposing fines or even having the credit card companies say that we shouldn't be allowing the use of their credit cards in our parking meters and other contexts. So it will cost some money, but it absolutely needs to be done. And I have to say that I applauded Commissioner Fish's move and his bureau's move to go to monthly billing. Now I re-applaud it because if there's monthly as opposed to tri-monthly charges, then that will raise the number of credit card transactions that his bureaus will engage in, which will raise the percentage of the total amount of this cost that they'll absorb compared to people. Aye.
Kales.
Mayor, could I propose a friendly amendment?
I think the buck just passed here. Aye. Good work. Okay.